Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You can. I'm not gonna.
Aww. Guys, Mike is just not in the spirit of TMNT.
I guess not.
So, it is Friday morning at 8 a.m. No, that's the other videos.
The other videos? The other podcast?
Other audios. The other podcasts.
That's the other things that we do.
It's the end of... Yeah, this isn't Super Sentai podcast. May as well be, some days. It is the end of Ninja Turtles week. Aww.
I know everyone's broken up about it.
If you ask real nicely, we'll do another one. Just kidding, we're out of movies to watch. We've watched them all.
We still haven't done the CGI one, because we couldn't find it.
So here's the story behind Ninja Turtles week to wrap this up. Mike and I, back in February, when we thought Ninja Turtles was going to be a spring release, said, hey, you know it'd be really cool? Let's do commentaries on all the old Ninja Turtles movies. And we did. And then we sat on them for a few months. And then when I went to get the videos and edit them and kind of do kind of like Sentai, where our commentary is laid over the video, the videos that were timed out with the commentary that we had recorded while watching had been pulled from YouTube by DMCA requests.
Yay!
Thanks, Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Fucking asshole. So I had to find other copies of the movies, and I did everything I could in my fucking power with my limited knowledge of video editing to try to sync everything up, and it would only sync up in certain parts, and then other parts would not be synced up, and then it was just all a fucking mess. And I tried for like 2 weeks, and finally, for the sake of my sanity, just gave up.
Which there's not nothing... much sanity left to save.
Exactly, that's why I had to stop while I could. That is why Ninja Turtles Week has been an audio-only affair. Maybe one day, when I'm a little better and I have some other stuff, I can go back and fix it. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll get better at it. I think the Sentai videos turned out pretty okay. Those are also only like 20 minutes long, so they're a little easier to get edited. It was probably something to do with the way I was importing or exporting or the way we recorded the audio. I honestly don't know. Those are also like 6-month-old audio tracks, so they're not recorded. It's a whole thing. Basically, we do this for free. You should support us on Patreon.
When the new one comes out on DVD, we'll have like a Turtles Week HD remix.
Turtles Week HD.
Or then we might actually have the videos and commentary. Or maybe we'll just redo the commentary. We'll do new, more contemporary commentary. Where we don't reference WrestleMania. WrestleMania's yet to come.
We date those commentaries right away, because in the second one we mentioned that Michael Bay is such an asshole, he would probably pin The Undertaker at WrestleMania. This is 2 months before The Undertaker got pinned at WrestleMania.
By an asshole.
By an asshole, Atlanta. So... Every once in a while I hear a weird beeping noise in my headset and I can't figure out what it is and its origin. So, it's somebody like logging off and logging on. Like a little bit ago, I was like, oh, Matt's offline. So, this is just a quick little thing to wrap up Ninja Turtles week, because we rambled about SummerSlam too long in the podcast. I got back not too long ago from seeing the Ninja Turtles movie, the Michael Bay produced, Joseph Leibstein directed?
Sure.
And costume designer, I took very special note of this in the credits, Sarah Andrews. I blame you, Sarah Andrews, for those costumes. No.
The costumes of the turtles or other people?
I'm sure she designed all of it in some degree.
No, look at the turtle designs and then look at the Transformers designs and tell me that that wasn't Bay just jerking off all over everything.
God, Shredder looks like way more of a clusterfuck than you realize on screen.
He needed to jerk off on it to get some sort of adhesive to tack every gimmick he could find onto the goddamn things.
Let me start by echoing Mike's Twitter plea earlier. I swear to fucking God, you idiots, your childhood is not ruined. Michael Bay did not go back in time and erase the original cartoons from your memory. They still exist. Your childhood is intact. Your childhood is fine. I saw the movie and my childhood is fine. I didn't feel like a part of my soul die or anything like that.
I wish that Twitter was around in like 1988 so that I could see if like people who were reading the comics saw the cartoon and was like, what the fuck is this? Childhood ruined.
Nobody read that comic back then.
Someone had to have read it for it to become this fucking phenomenon that it has over the last 30 years.
So, I mean, I... I guess running them down real quick. You had the original Ninja Turtles in 1990. Technically still classified as an independent film. It was the highest grossing independent film for years. Very well done. Very dark. Very violent. But it's all kind of contextual. So to me, even as a kid, it never really stood out as being overly violent. Did you think of it as violent?
No, you showed me, like, I'll mention it. You showed me the Honest trailers for Ninja Turtles,
yes,
2, where,
yes,
they talk about how it was toned down because people complained that the first one was overly violent. But
we mentioned that in the commentary, too, actually.
Yeah, and it's like there is one scene in the whole, like, 90-minute first movie where Leonardo actually connects with his sword.
Right.
And it's like, I don't find that as being overly violent.
No, it's, I mean, it was all, like I say, it was all kind of contextual with the story. It's all left kind of vague. There's only one guy that you think to yourself, he's fucking dead, and that would be Bob the Axe Ninja.
Oh, poor Bob the Axe Ninja.
I should really post that with, like, every Ninja Turtles Week video. My greatest work!
That's sad that that is classified as your greatest work.
Fuck you. So then, less than a year later, of course, Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Mike, in the commentary, you referred to it as the cartoon movie.
Yeah.
The one that was toned down and synced up with the cartoon a little better than the first movie was.
Well, it's like, after sort of, like, as a kid, I didn't really notice or give a shit. But
right.
As I grew up and kind of look back, it's like, the first movie lends a little more from the comics with its darker tone. And then the second movie with its lighter tone, more comedy. The two other mutant characters, Toka and Razor, are clearly supposed to be Rock City and Bebop. It feels more like the cartoon.
Yeah. Not necessarily a bad movie. It definitely doesn't hold up to the first movie by any stretch of the imagination, but not a bad movie. I fondly remember it. As a kid, you enjoyed it.
It kind of felt like the Batman Forever of the series, where it's like, how there was, like, the dark ones that everyone liked, and then there was kind of the transitional one to the really corny one.
But Turtles came first, so wouldn't Batman Forever technically be the Ninja Turtles 2 of the Batman franchise?
Sure.
Fuck it. Who cares?
But you know what I mean? That it's like,
yeah,
it was still related to the first one, but going a little towards the edge of over-the-top ridiculous, which we got in the third movie, where they travel in time.
I guess the third one would be the movie in line with the toys, where they put the turtles in ridiculous outfits to sell more toys.
Yeah.
Oh, Samurai Turtles.
Oh, and they did. And I, not regrettably, have the turtles in their samurai gear action figures.
My Ninja Turtle toys. Costumes? I did have a Ninja Turtles costume. I was Michelangelo for Christmas, sure, fuck it. I woke up Christmas morning dressed up like a Ninja Turtle. I went and opened my presents.
I'm 6 years old, fuck it, I'm gonna be a Ninja Turtle. It's Christmas, goddammit.
No, I was Michelangelo for Halloween 1 year. Because they sold the, like, they sell them now for the, they sold, like, the play kits. You had the mask with the big rubber turtle snout and then
right.
The hollow plastic nunchucks. Then my mom, I wore, like, a green sweatsuit. My mom made me a shell out of cardboard.
Oh, nice.
It was actually pretty. My mom made all my, I never had a store-bought Halloween costume. My mom made all my Halloween costumes growing up.
Dressed up like a Ninja Turtle, but I did have a year where we made Ninja Turtle pumpkins.
Oh, that's neat. So then, 2007, TMNT, the CGI movie, a movie that is,
wait,
I think,
didn't
not
talk
really
about Turtles in Time.
Turtles Forever came after TMNT.
No, Turtles in Time, the third one.
We did.
Barely.
We literally, what did you want to say about Turtles in Time, Mike?
I thought you might have had, you were covering all the others.
No, it sucked. There's not really any trivia for it.
It sucked.
It sucked. Koteas, Elliot, what? I can't remember his fucking name.
Casey Jones.
Casey Jones played a dual row.
Dual row? There were two rows. How many columns?
Only one. He's not that diverse an actor. Two roles. Dual roles. Also had, it is kind of interesting to watch as the quality goes down, so do the qualities of the costumes for the turtles.
I was never so bothered by the turtles as the strange dog-looking Splinter.
Oh, God.
Like, the first two, he kind of looks like a rat, and then that third one, he looks like a, like, Goofy with fun fur glued onto him.
The mutagen is slowly turning Splinter into a coyote.
That's a secondary mutation.
My sons. And it's not called Turtles in Time. We established that during the commentary. They just stuck that on for DVD releases.
Yeah.
It's just Ninja Turtles 3. And there's not really much to say about that one. Other than I'm not surprised we didn't get a fourth one. Well, I mean, we did, but it, you know, years later. And that would be TMNT, the 2007 movie, which was CGI and kind of a sequel, but not really a sequel, but still kind of a sequel.
It relates to the first three movies in that at the very end, there's a scene with Splinter putting something on a shelf, and as the camera pulls back, you see like the ooze canister, you see one of the samurai masks, I think you see the time travel device.
Yeah, Shredder's helmet is there.
Yeah, it's just this mishmash of stuff that sort of tells you, like, yeah, it's following those movies, but we just didn't mention it.
It's one of those sequels that it's not saying it is a sequel, but it's also not saying it's not. There's nothing in the movie that contests it.
Yeah.
Not really, at least. I don't think it's a movie that's really hated. I don't think it's a movie that's really loved either. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, and it was like, that was certainly a Turtles movie.
Yeah. It was more of a Turtles movie than 3 was, that's for sure. And then I guess you could count it as a movie, Turtles Forever, our fourth commentary we did for the week, because we couldn't find TMNT for us to watch on YouTube. Sorry, guys. We tried.
Aw, dang.
Turtles Forever, the 25th anniversary film, where the Turtles from the 2003 series meet up with the Turtles from the 87?
87, 88, somewhere in there.
87, 88, late 80s series, and the original Turtles from the Mirage comic show up. It's fun. I think we kind of covered the bases on that in the commentary. It's a fun little thing that, you know, at first everybody kind of hated because of how it treated the original Ninja Turtles, and then kind of realized, no, that's how they acted.
I don't know that everyone hated it. Matt hated it.
I didn't necessarily hate it. Like I said, I felt like they got the short end of the stick, definitely. They should have had a little bit bigger of a hero moment in there, but it served its purpose. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. And it was a nice little love letter to fans of the last, at that point, 25 years of Turtles history. Now 30.
Now, god damn. Getting old. Already am old.
Which I guess this movie is going to be the 30th anniversary thing. I was kind of hoping that maybe the CGI cartoon show would do something about it, but I don't know.
It's on hiatus, right? It wouldn't surprise me if a little closer to the movie getting a DVD release, they do something.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't really know what you could do. And 30 is never really treated as a big year, unless you're Super Sentai. Maybe for the 35th anniversary, the Turtles will get weapons with keys, and when you put the keys in, you can turn it to...
They'll turn into any turtle from the past.
My sons, you have now unlocked turtles that have never before been seen on this earth.
Can't wait until they turn into the next mutation turtles.
They just show up in the Die Ranger costume. Just fuck it. Oh, the next mutation. So that, of course, brings us to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2014. Not related to any previous Turtles project at all, which is surprising given the success of the current CGI series, which I am under the impression is doing very well.
Well, I think that everything for the movie was set up and in motion before the cartoon show.
Right.
So they didn't really have a chance to sync up what they were going to do. It was like Nickelodeon bought the rights and said, boom, movie. And then it wasn't until like 2 or 3 years later where they were like, and cartoon show.
Yeah. And while we're at it. So that being said, from this point on, we're going to talk spoilers for the movie. I've seen it. Mike doesn't really give a shit about spoilers, though.
Nah. Is there any like big plot twist where spoilers would make a difference in it? It's fucking Ninja Turtle.
You know, there is a plot thing. I don't think you're going to care about the spoilers for it. I'm interested in hearing your kind of fresh reaction to it, not having seen it in the theater.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second. If you don't want to hear spoilers, stop this now. Come back after you've seen the movie. If you don't care about spoilers, you're awesome. I kind of agree with what Mike said on the podcast earlier. If the story's good, spoilers shouldn't matter.
It's like, I watch movies that I know exactly what happens, and I watch them over and over again. So, and it doesn't ruin them for me. So spoilers, if the movie's good, shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I like to keep the element of surprise for me personally, but it doesn't ruin my fucking day if somebody tells me that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was Robin at the end of The Dark Knight Rises. So, with that in mind, Ninja Turtles 2014, where to begin? I walked in to the theater and I tried not to look at it as somebody who's been a fan of the franchise for 30 years. And that was kind of cool, because as I'm sitting there waiting for them to start seating, I'm seeing like all the kids coming in to see this movie, and they're all like the age I was. I've mentioned the story in the podcast, me going to see Ninja Turtles when I'm like 6 years old, my dad taking me into this day, making fun of me because I was fucking in the aisles with all the other kids pretending we were Ninja Turtles during the movie. I'm not ashamed of that. I think it's pretty telling. I only saw this movie and the original Ninja Turtles in the theater. I remember showing up at the theater, and I remember my dad surprising me because I didn't realize we were going to see it, but I was so fucking excited I do not remember a single goddamn thing about that movie from being in the theater. It is just a...
that you were only six.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember being at theater, but from that point on, it is just a blur of goddamn joy. I was six!
I have the opposite with Ghostbusters 2, where I was terrified of the scene with the slime coming through the bathtub that I remember nothing but tears.
So the movie is, of course, a retelling of the origin story. You have the turtles who are not allowed to go to the surface yet. Mike, the Foot Clan in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They mention them right in the beginning. There's an opening narration by Splinter, played by Tony Shalhoub, who is not doing any kind of a voice. It's just Tony Shalhoub. So the whole time I'm sitting there like, why is Monk in the sewers? He wouldn't like it down there. He's OCD. He'd be really uncomfortable. Mike, why are they called the Foot Clan?
Like the real reason or the storyline reason?
Yeah, just guess. Why are they called the Foot Clan?
Well, they were called the Foot Clan because of the villains, the Daredevil villains, I believe, called the Hand. And Eastman and Laird saw that and was like, let's call them the Foot.
No, because they step over people with no regard. They step over other people. Mike, do you get what kind of a movie this is going to be yet? By the way, fun Ninja Turtles fact. I don't know if you know this. It's not like one of those things acknowledged canonically, but like creators have acknowledged it, that the accident in which Daredevil is blinded is the same accident which created the Ninja Turtles.
What?
They have like, they kind of do like kind of sly hints to it. And of course, nobody can admit it in canon, but it's kind of like one of those comic book inside jokes that when the chemicals hit Daredevil and blind him, and then they go down the sewer after that, they then land on the turtles and turn them into Ninja Turtles. That does not happen in this movie, though. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay. So
I never heard that before. But...
You never heard that before? It's just a fun little bit of trivia. It's just one of those cool little world-building things.
I mean, I know that like Ninja Turtles, like Eastman and Laird borrowed a lot of stuff from like Frank Miller and old ninja-related stuff, so yeah. Daredevil would have been right in that wheelhouse as well, so possibly.
So right after that, we meet April O'Neil, Megan Fox. Mm-hmm. Fucking idiot in this movie. She's an idiot. I'm sorry. And Will Arnett's Vern Fernwick, which is kind of a fun little nod for people like us. Because Vern was, of course, a semi-regular character, I guess, on the old cartoon.
Right, he was always April's foil.
Yeah. Here he's the not really, but kind of sort of romantic interest, in that he's really interested in April, but never asks her out. Kind of keeps getting distracted when he tries to ask her out. Little sexist. Kids movie, whatever. Just a hair.
Wait, because he tries to ask her out?
Oh, no. He's just kind of a little dense about it. I don't know how to explain it. You'll get it when you see the movie. So the ninja in this iteration, as you may have noticed in the trailer, April's dad was working with one of the villains in this movie, Eric Sachs, who's I don't believe is based on an existing character.
Doesn't sound familiar.
No. Her dad and Eric Sachs worked together in a lab doing stuff. There was an accident. April's dad died. Many tears were shed.
Wham.
At the same time, the Foot Clan is taking over New York. April is trying to become a big deal reporter. She is trying to crack the mystery of the Foot Clan when she stumbles over the what she believes is a vigilante who is fighting the Foot Clan. It's actually the Turtles, obviously. She has, like, no evidence, goes to her boss at the news station, Whoopi Goldberg, who is here explicitly to make her grandsons happy, I guess. She's in the movie twice for no fucking reason. There's a paycheck that could have saved it. Could have shaved the paycheck. We
Learn
meet Shredder.
The words, would you? Goddamn.
It's been a very long day. Shredder is not like a big reveal mystery. He's not like William Fichtner's character in disguise or anything like that. He is very straightforward, an older Japanese guy. You never see his face directly. He's always in the shadows. Very angry, trying to restore the Foot Clan to their former glory. Karai is in it. They don't really touch on her much. She just leads. She kind of fills the Tatsuro role. So going from there, you have April finally meet the Turtles. And they mention their names. She's like, I know those names. So her dad and William Fichtner's character. Are you picking up on where this is going yet? We're working in a lab with this alien substance called mutagen. And they had test subjects, which were four box turtles and a rat.
Oh, that's kind of in line with the IDW comic.
So, then April's dad burned down the lab, and April saved them and put them in a sewer, where they then mutated.
Oh, Jesus Christ, April saved them?
April saved them. And Splinter has told them all their lives they were saved by a great guardian spirit, and April is that great guardian spirit.
Oh, yay.
Because you have... So, you know, then April, further enforcing that she's an idiot, goes to Whoopi Goldberg and says, my dad, I found the vigilantes. They're these turtles that I had as a kid that are giant mutants and also they're ninjas, and expects to be taken seriously. But can't wonder why she is not, like, a big reporter on, like, bigger beats and is having to cover, like, stupid little fluff pieces. Yeah. I should mention tone-wise. We had mentioned parents were pissed about the first Ninja Turtles movie, how dark it was and how violent it was. Whereas in this one, I don't care what they showed you on screen, there are people who are just dead. Like the guy they threw at a moving subway.
Oh, God.
Like, threw him through the window of a moving... It's like, so he's dead. The CG on the turtles looks really good. Very solid. They spent a lot of time on that CG, which explains why Splinter looks like shit.
Is he overdone?
He's not... He's underdone, in my opinion. He looks... I mean, there's something kind of slimy about him. He just looks off.
He's
you know?
Sewer rat.
No, I mean, like, he looks like he's coated in slime.
He is a like, sewer rat.
He looks like somebody fucking dropped the Nickelodeon gack on him, and he tried to wash it off.
He is it a just, sewer rat.
But not in the, like, sewer rat. Not in the fact that he looks like a rat who is... He just looks like an unfinished CGI model. So the turtles get captured because they realize that... because spoiler alert, Eric Sachs is evil.
What?!
He relates this, he's got this room in his house that only serves to have a Japanese tapestry and a big candle for exposition. It's the room from the trailer. There's literally nothing else in this room. It doesn't match the decor of anything else. He mentions that he was, his father died while they were stationed on a military base in Saigon or some nonsense. And he was raised by a sensei then who, taught him everything he knows, blah, blah, blah. That turns out to be Shredder. They want to poison the city, and the only cure for the poison is the mutagen, which they were creating as a cure for toxins, and that's why April's dad burned down the lab, because he found out what they were going to do about it, and then they think they lost all the mutagen because everything died, but then April's like, no, I saved the turtles, and he's like, well, shit, you know, now we can go through with this plan, because evidently this canister of toxin has just been attached to the top of this building, ready to go for 16 years. Just left up there for 16 years. So they kidnap all the turtles except Raphael, who they're like, no, he's totally dead. Blow things up. Splinter's gets his ass nearly beat. Shredder is not like a graceful ninja at all in this movie. He's a goddamn brawler. He beats the shit out of Splinter very brutally. like fucking body slams him at one point.
Jesus.
In his like techno shredder transformer armor that shoots blades that then like come back because of magnets.
The shredder needs more spike shredder.
Yeah, it's I remember looking at the design and saying to myself, that doesn't look terrible. And when you see it in motion, no, it looks really bad, actually. It's like the Transformers designs. It's very busy. Mm-hmm. It's like the Turtles designs. It's very busy.
It's like I've said multiple times. It's like next time Michael Bay wants to make a movie based off an old property, let him design the characters as he wants and then take the designs back to him and say, okay, you get three.
Oh, yeah. The masks that the Turtles wear are the blankets that Splinter covered them in when they were babies.
I can forgive that.
Splinter was like, I saw how much your dad loved you, April, so they became my sons and I became their dad.
Was Splinter part of their experiments as well?
Yeah, Splinter was the rat she saved.
Okay.
She saved all of them.
Well, I guess still not far out of line from what they did with the IDW book. Anyway.
It's more that kind of we have to establish that they've been secretly intertwined all their lives nonsense that every movie loves to do now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have a coincidence anymore.
No, you can't have two people meet in a movie.
Yeah, they have to have known each other since they were five.
It's fate.
Fate. Oh, yeah, and April named all of them when she was, like, eight.
Yeah, also from the IDW comic.
Yeah.
Again, not a thing. Something that people had a problem with that I didn't, because new stuff.
And, because of all that, the reason the Turtles know ninjutsu is because Splinter taught them, and the reason Splinter knows ninjutsu is because he taught himself before he taught the Turtles.
So probably not really ninjutsu.
Like they're in the sewers, and he's like, they're already like kind of grown at this point. He's like, oh man, they're going to really want to go topside, and they're going to get picked on a lot. I got to teach them to defend themselves. And he finds a book that's on ninjutsu in the sewers. And proceeds to teach himself ninjutsu, and then teaches the Turtles ninjutsu.
Why not? That's how it works.
That's you just read a book and you know it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Meteor Man.
Yeah,
that's obscure even for us.
God.
They capture all the Turtles. Raphael saves them with the help of April and Vern and. There's the big, like, going down the mountain sequence, which is interesting to me because in the beginning of the movie, April is doing a news piece on how it's spring. But over at Eric Sachs' estate, it's still, like, December because there's, like, 10 feet of snow everywhere.
They're in northeast United States.
It is spring.
Yeah.
People in shorts. No snow anywhere to be seen in New York. And, like, a 20-minute drive away.
Up a mountain.
10 feet of snow.
Yeah, we get that here.
Just jarring.
Like, I can need the air conditioning on at my house, and there could be snow up on Mount Hood that's about 2 hours away.
Yeah.
It happens.
Anyways, the big sequence going down the hill, they get to the tower, they fight Shredder on top of the tower. The Turtles don't really defeat Shredder. April does. And that's your movie.
How did they defeat him? Is he dead?
Well,
did they dead him, or did they, like, we need to have a sequel so he's hurt?
He's got the canister of mutagen attached to him. They're all hanging from a rail. They've got kind of like a ladder thing where they're all holding each other. At the bottom, they're holding April, who is about to fall. And April's like, swing me towards him. And they swing her towards him, and she kicks him really hard, and he falls down. And the last you see of him, his hand, like, moves, and the mutagen canister is broke.
Oh, no. So we're going to have Mutant Shredder in the next one?
Quick, call Kevin Nash. He's just going to text himself. I'd love to be Super Shredder. Ah! Stick the Turtles.
You told me to take care of the problem.
So, I mean, that's your movie. I didn't hate it. I feel like the plot, it's a little convoluted for a movie aimed at, like, six-year-olds. And a little dull for anyone who's not a six-year-old. Action scenes are good. Writing's fine. It's not terrible. It's not the end of the world. It's not great. I will be, like, fucking buying the Blu-ray when it comes out. But I don't regret paying ticket price for it. It's a little ridiculous at times. It is, like, very dark. It is very violent. Shredder beats the unholy shit out of everybody he fights. He's definitely built up as a menace in this.
So, a little dark, a little silly, a little stupid. It's a fucking Ninja Turtles movie.
That's accurate.
So it falls right in line with everything else that has ever been associated with the series.
It's, I mean, like, it's darker than the first movie, and it's not as silly as the second movie. It's kind of in between. Kind of a nice... Think of it as TMNT 1.5.
Well, there you go.
Good talk. Good talk. There you go. That was great.
It's like a lot of the stuff you're mentioning here, like I said, it's... I don't know that they necessarily took inspiration from it, but it fell in line with the book that IDW was publishing, or is publishing,
right,
rather.
Right. I've not read that book yet, but...
Where, yeah, it starts out, and it's completely rebooting the franchise, and the Turtles are an experiment in a lab, and April is an intern at the lab. And so she's also going to school, so she's, like, doing her homework there and decides to name the Turtles after the art in her art history book, or the artists in her art history book. And, yeah, then shit happens. And the mutagen in that is from Dimension X. That's where Krang's from. So,
yeah.
And maybe they'll tie that in the next movie, if that's the way they're going to go. But, so, it's stuff that is... seemingly ridiculous, but at the same time it falls in line with what happens in Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So it's like, and you can't really say, like, oh, they're doing this, they got this weird thing from this alien world, oh no, but it's like, that's kind of what fucking happens in Ninja Turtles. You can't really say that doesn't fall in line with that.
Yeah. So not a bad movie. I feel like if I was six again, I would have enjoyed it. It does start off a little slow. Like, you don't really see the Turtles for, like, the first 20-25 minutes. It takes a while to get to them. It takes a while to get building up. But once it starts, it's kind of nonstop from there. A little convoluted for a kid plot-wise, but no, it's good enough. My childhood is intact.
Your childhood would have been intact anyway.
I don't know, man. This is some serious shit we're talking about here.
Like, oh no, they're doing something new with Ninja Turtles, because, like I said, they haven't done everything new with Ninja Turtles. This is just another iteration to throw on the pile of dozens that have been done over the last 30 years.
Can't wait to see what they do with Mortal Kombat.
Like, watch Turtles Forever, and when they do the scene where Shredder shows the various different universes, look at how many iterations of Ninja Turtles there have been, and then shut the fuck up.
That's a kinder, gentler meat potato for you, everybody. Well, that's Ninja Turtles.
Hooray.
Yay. We hope you enjoyed this rundown. We hope you go see the movie. Support it. It's not terrible. Especially if you have kids. Take your kids to see a fucking movie every once in a while.
Go spend time with your goddamn kids, you useless human beings.
Fucking sacks of shit. If you want to see a really good movie, go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
I saw that and I loved it.
No, you didn't.
Because this is not... like, right after we did the first podcast.
Well, this is going up in, like, just a couple hours, so...
Yeah, and I saw Guardians of the Galaxy in between our two recordings.
Yep. He pirated it!
What's the tree's name again? Glump?
Yes, Glump. I am Glump.
There was Glump and the squirrel, and,
Yes, Glump and Squirrel Girl.
And, Macho Man.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Some guy from The Office.
Ronan the Accuser was like, who are you? And Macho Man Randy Savage said, oh yeah, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy, brother. Ooh. Let me tell you now, Macho Man Randy Savage, you're gonna gird the galaxy. You're gonna keep it safe. You meant Batista's character, didn't
you? Yes, I did. I meant that he was playing Drax.
He didn't really have a line that I could... I mean, I guess you could... Nothing goes over the Macho Man Randy Savage's head. His reflexes are too fast, brother. He'll catch it. Oh, yeah. Cut it!
The cream always rises to the top.
Ooh. I'm gonna catch it, and then I'm gonna snap into it like a Slim Jim.
Not related to Ninja Turtles at all. My mother saw a trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy and thought that Rocket was a fox.
Close enough.
He's like, it's got the little fox guy in it, right? He's a raccoon, Mom. He doesn't look like a raccoon. He is a raccoon.
Rocket Fox just doesn't have the same. Oh.
I don't know. That sounds like it'd be a cool name. That'd be like a Disney Channel cartoon show. Rocket Fox!
Rocket Fox, I can't wait for you to write your Guardians of the Galaxy parody with a Macho Man Randy Savage, Glomp, and Fuck It Fox.
Fuck you, Fox.
Fuck you, Fox.
Who are you guys? Fuck you. He's not being mean. That's his name. He's answering the question.
It's Fuck You, Fox. He spends the whole movie like, yeah, can you believe what they did to the X-Men franchise? Thanks for listening, everybody.
What's up with Quicksilver? Fuck you.
We're gonna hang this up before this turns into another podcast. next week, possibly, Guardians of the Galaxy on Room Full of Nerd Stuff. And there's a new Room Full of Nerd Stuff up at some point today. Maybe not right now. I'll try to space them out a little bit. But at some point today.
I'm up right now, brother.
That was the... There's an audio clip I'm gonna get some mileage out of. I am so glad that nobody else was talking during that. Oh, yes.
I can't wait for you to cut that into the intro song. Room full of nerd stuff. I'm up right now, brother. Dun, 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 dun.
Go listen to the podcast where we talk SummerSlam and female Ghostbusters. And Mike Kent Wright.
Mostly SummerSlam.
Mostly SummerSlam. Go watch Ninja Turtles. Bye, everybody.
Bye.